Baruch Hashem. You know, and Rabbi asked me if I can, you know, if I'd be willing to teach Saturday. I said, why not? You know, praise God, you know. Because it's not me teaching. You know, it's God teaching. Can you hear me better? Can you hear me now? Okay. Okay. So, if we keep on reading in the Torah portion, we'll see, you know, the consequences of obeying and disobeying the commandments and statutes of God. Ultimately, sin leads to death. That's the ultimate, that's what we all deserve, of death. And praise God, His grace is sufficient for us, because without His grace, we wouldn't be here right now. Our fathers wouldn't have been there. We would have been destroyed long ago before we even knew that we existed. So, you know, praise God. So, why do we have commandments and statutes? Well, our God is a holy and righteous God. No unclean thing can come anywhere near Him. To be able to do so, we must all personally be clean and righteous according to His standards. What are God's standards for righteousness? They are known by most as the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, as well as Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 21. The most important commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and resources. Also strength. The Lord is our strength. So He will give us everything we need to serve Him. When our hearts are right with Him, and we just trust in Him, don't worry about anything else you need. He gives us our strength. He gives us our needs. He gives us our food, our spiritual and physical food. John 14:15 says, if you love the Lord your God, you will keep His commandments. The Messiah Yeshua said this as well, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that is another proof that Yeshua called Himself God. In order for a person to fellowship and converse with the Lord, that person must be righteous and without sin. Is there any person righteous? No, not one. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. There's one way that we would be able to reach the Lord our God, and that's through repentance and teshuva, turning to God through the Messiah, who is the ultimate Passover lamb. Proverbs 15:29, on the note of being separate from God, the Lord is far away from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Isaiah 59:1-3, see, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, nor are His ears too dull to hear. Instead, your iniquities have been barriers between you and your God, and your sins have concealed His face from you so that He won't listen. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your tongue mutters wickedness. What happens if a person breaks even one of these commands? If any person breaks even one of these commands of God, that person is considered a sinner and is deserving of death, as was mentioned earlier. And each person is responsible for her own sin. No father can make atonement for their son, or vice versa, as spoken of in the prophets. I believe it was Ezekiel. Psalm 1:5-6 says, therefore, the wicked will not escape judgment, nor will sinners have a place in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will be destroyed. And praise God, He stopped us in our tracks before we can reach ultimate destruction. He's always there for us to be in the way. He puts His cloud in that way so that we don't destroy others or ourselves. And He says, come back to me, children. Come and receive the blessings that I have for you. Come receive the salvation that I've provided for you through the Messiah, which has been taught even before the Messiah came in this time, in this realm. But it's always been a foreshadowing that Yeshua is the Messiah. James 2:9-11 says, but if you show partiality, who are committing sin will be convicted by the law as violators, or Torah. For whoever keeps the whole Torah, but fails in one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. For the one who said, never commit adultery, also said, never murder. Now, if you commit adultery, but you murder, you become a violator of the Torah. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in union with the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. Romans 2:6-16, he will repay everyone according to what that person has done. Eternal life to those who strive for glory, honor, and immortality by patiently doing good. But wrath and fury for those who, in their selfish pride, refuse to believe the truth and practice wickedness instead. It is through the Messiah. God changes our heart when we accept the Messiah. And the first things he does is change our hearts so that our focus isn't on us anymore. It's on God and what his will is. Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's part of the sample prayer that we should pray every day. As we seek his will, he will provide the way that we need to go. He will stop us from going to the left or to the right and keep on focusing on him to go and proclaim the gospel wherever he sends us and to make disciples of all nations as he gave us through the Great Commission. So does this mean that every human is a sinner? Yes, of course. All except one, who is not much a man, but rather the Son of God who came down as man. He's the only one who gives us the way of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christo. Either way, his name is salvation, and he is the Word. He was there in the beginning, he is here now, and he is always with us to the end. I have one more from Romans about the Torah. Romans 3:21-26. But now apart from the law, God's righteousness is revealed and is attested by the Torah and the prophets. God's righteousness through the faithfulness of Jesus the Mashiach for all who believe. For there is no distinction among people, since all have sinned and continue to fall short of God's glory. By his grace, they are justified freely through the redemption that is in the Messiah, Yeshua. By his grace, we are justified freely through the redemption that is found in the Messiah, Jesus, whom God offered as a place where atonement by the Messiah's blood would occur through faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because he had waited patiently to deal with sins committed in the past. He wanted to demonstrate at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies anyone who has the faithfulness of the Messiah. So praise God, we are not condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And we see from what he shared with us the importance of righteousness, right? Thinking about this, righteousness. You guys know how my brain kind of works. I like to get a dictionary definition because, trust me, there's a lot smarter people out there who said it a lot better than when I could say it. Amen. But with that, gleaning from their knowledge, as well as with the Holy Spirit, that's where the power really moves. And so we see these men really have gotten the right definition of righteousness, where it says it's characterized by proceeding from or in accordance with acceptable standards of morality, justice, or uprightness, virtuousness. And really, if you think about it, what are the Ten Commandments? Is it not a moral code? It's God's moral code, though. It's not just a moral code that that you and I have made up. And when I think about morality, that's one of the things that really challenge those who believe in the theory of evolution is, well, if evolution is real, where did morality come from? If we evolved from monkeys, monkeys will murder, monkeys commit adultery, monkeys throw poop at each other. That's what they do, right? They do all of that. That's a monkey. Where did morality come from? And they cannot answer that question. And that's because when God breathed into mankind His nefesh, He also breathed into us His commandments, right? And God's Word says that the commandments are written upon our hearts so that everyone is going to be without an excuse. And people always ask the question, well, what about the people who live in a deserted island in the middle of nowhere? They never heard the name of Jesus. Well, guess what? God put the commandments on their hearts, and many times His missionary groups go out and find these people who have never heard the gospel before. They ask them, you know, qualifying questions. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Yes, we believe in the God that created everything, and because of our mistakes, His Son had to come down and die for us, and He now lives so we can live. That's what we believe in too. You know, what's the name of your God? Nukinagnok. Well, we call Him Jesus. Yay! You know? And William, you think about that. It's like, oh, wow, God is making sure that righteousness is known, that morality is known. Now, righteous comes from the word tzaddik. You might hear, I remember one time we had these Israelis were going around selling artwork door to door. And they saw the tzitzis, and he's like, oh, hey, you know, it's a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. He's a righteous man. And I'm like, oh, well, these don't get me righteousness because all my righteous deeds are an unclean thing. Now, of course, am I trying to pursue the things of God and be holy? You betcha. But you know what? Understanding that I'm not perfect and I'm not tzaddik and I'm not righteous, you know, thinking about these things, That kind of leaves some questions that need to be answered, but we'll get to those in a minute. The source text of this passage of Scripture, you know, I remember one time hearing a message and someone's like, oh yeah, I can see the Apostle Paul as he's in jail and he's sitting there and he's thinking about his Roman guard and he sees, you know, the Roman soldier standing there and it inspired him to write Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm sitting there going, what? Paul wasn't thinking about the Roman soldier. He was thinking about Isaiah 59. You know, and Richard started with that text about how, you know, our iniquities keep us, keep our prayers from going to God. God can't hear our prayers if we've got all this sin in our lives. But it's once He removes that sin, then He can hear our prayers. But if you continue on in that chapter, verse 17 of chapter 59 of Isaiah, it says, He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on His head and put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped Himself with zeal as a mantle. Paul wasn't thinking about no Roman guard standing there. He was thinking about God hearing his prayers and what was written in Isaiah 59. Well, how do you know this, Rabbi? Because he also was a rabbi and was required to study the Scripture and to know the Scripture. And so with that, he's going through the book of Isaiah. Oh, look at this. The righteousness like a breastplate. The helmet of salvation. I bet we've got armor, you know, and it's held together by the truth of God. We've got the righteousness. We've got the good news now on our feet. How beautiful are the feet that go out and share good news. You know, talks about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. This comes from the Scriptures. This wasn't something new to Paul or the new believers. Yeah, and so with that, you know, we have to kind of review righteousness. First of all, like Richard mentioned earlier, that our righteousness does nothing for our salvation. Isaiah 64, 6. All of our good deeds, all of our righteous deeds, actually is what the Scripture says if you look at the words there, are like a filthy garment. All of us have become like one who is unclean. We are all unclean. Our righteousness, filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Got to remember that. Our righteousness does nothing for our salvation. We can do nothing to earn or deserve salvation. It's only by the grace of God. And people, you know, who don't really understand Messianic Judaism, you guys are just trying to earn your way to heaven. No, we're not! We are not. There's no way we can make it. Well, you're Jews, aren't you? Yeah, of course we're Jews. But you know what? It's all about the righteousness of God. It's all about His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are the Messiah's representatives, and through God, we're pleading through us, we plead on the Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become God's righteousness in Him. So where does it come from? It comes from the Messiah, right?
God knew our problem, and God knew that we needed to be reconciled, and God knew that we needed to be in the reconciliation business. And so that's what the righteousness is all about. And of course, it's important that we have righteousness, but it's God's righteousness is what saves us. Genesis 15:6. Then Abraham believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. You know, a lot of people, especially in Judaism, well, you got to do all this stuff. No, you don't. What does Bereshit 15, what does Genesis 15 say? Abraham's belief was credited to him. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. But what about all that stuff that Abraham did? It was after this verse. Circumcision took place 14 years later. Yeah, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. It's very important to know that stuff. And that's even reiterated again in Romans, where the Apostle Paul, once again quoting the old stuff, right? Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to someone who works, wages are not considered a gift, but an obligation. However, to someone who does not work, but simply believes in the one who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. It's right there in black and white. It's the faith in Jesus, the faith in God, and not the belief. You know, even the demons believe that Jesus is God, but they haven't put their trust in Him. They haven't made them Lord of their lives. They're just like, oh, no, yeah, He's God. We recognize that, but we're going to do our own thing anyhow. And they fear and tremble at His name. So it's not just, you know, not just recognizing and saying, oh, well, I said Jesus in a prayer one time, I guess I'm in. No. It's beyond that. We have to allow God to justify us with His righteousness. And we reflect that by how we live our lives. That's what James tells us, right? You will know them by their fruit. We see that passage of Scripture. You know, you show me your faith by your works. You know, you don't have to go around telling people, hey, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. Look at my t-shirt, I'm a believer. I've got a bumper sticker, I'm a believer. People are going to know you're a believer by the way you conduct yourself and behave. And when we strive to keep those commandments, of course, that's the lifestyle that God wants us to live. But how do the righteous live? Think about this. The righteous are supposed to do what? Live by faith. Habakkuk 2, Romans 1, Galatians 3, and Hebrews 10 all say, but the righteous will live by faith. So it's how you live, your faith in Yeshua Jesus, is where we get the righteousness from. And it comes from Him. And remember, God's righteousness cannot be earned. Deuteronomy 6 says, it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before Hashem our God, just as He has commanded us. So, you know, we can't earn this stuff. We show our faith in God by keeping the commandments, you betcha. But you know what? It's God's righteousness that saves us. Romans 4, it says, He does this blessed come to the circumcised alone, or also to the uncircumcised. For we say Abraham's faith is credited to him righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was he circumcised or uncircumcised? He had not been circumcised, but was uncircumcised. Afterward, he received the mark of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. Therefore, he is the ancestor of all who believe, while uncircumcised, in order that righteousness may be credited to them. Yeah. And if we look beyond just, you know, let's not think with a physical circumcision. Let's talk about the circumcision of the heart. Because that's what it's really talking about. Those who are truly believers have their heart circumcised, and they let God cut out all that junk out of their lives so that they could live a righteous life by the righteousness that Yeshua Jesus modeled for us, right? Yeah. Yeah, and that's very important. And you know, and really, we're not perfect. In God's eyes, no one's righteous. Romans 3 says, not even one person is righteous. No one understands. No one searches for God. All has turned away. Together they have become worthless. If you think that you're righteous and you're all this, that, or the other, uh-uh. No. Or what do the game shows do? You know? No. No, it's God's righteousness through the faithfulness of Yeshua HaMashiach for all who believed. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and continue to fall short of God's glory. Nobody is perfect. And I usually joke around, no one's perfect, and I'm the perfect example. You know? Yeah, nobody is perfect. And that's why we need a Savior, right? Yeah. And we are to be wrapped in righteousness. Isaiah 61 says, I will rejoice greatly in Hashem. My soul will exult in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Yeah, we have on us, if we believe, we have salvation. We've got those pure white garments that have been given to us, right? And then on top of that, we have the righteousness. We have the robe that God has given us, His righteousness that we wear, that we show to the world. Hey, look, we're doing these things not to earn our way, but we're doing these things because we love God. And that is why we have the breastplate of righteousness. That is why we choose daily not to have any other gods before God. That is why we choose daily not to make any idols. That's why we choose daily not to misrepresent God, you know, taking His name in vain. You know, taking the Lord's name in vain is more than just a swear word. It's saying that you're a believer and not acting like it. Yeah, we're keeping the Sabbath. You guys are here. Ding, 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 yay. You know, we have that fifth commandment, which is honor our parents, which means respect the authority that God has given us as the authority in our lives. And we can extend that to supervisors and bosses. Well, even if they're horrible, because you're there for a reason, right? Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it, Hannah?
Amen.
Yeah, you know, a little side note. I don't know what people are thinking. They always promote those who really don't do the best job. Many times I've seen it. Yeah, it's Bill's like going, yeah, we've seen it. Yeah, military, Marines. Yeah, ooh, oh. Yeah, but think about that, though. Really, you know, God's given us those authorities, and we're supposed to respect them and the position they have, right? And those are all the commandments that are related to God. That's part of the robe of righteousness. The other part of the robe of righteousness, you know, talks about, you know, let's not steal from people. Let's not lie. Let's not, commit adultery. Let's not be covetous. Let's not bear false witness. You know, all the commandments that we see there in Exodus chapter 20, we see those there, and that's how we as believers are supposed to live. Because people will see the righteousness of God upon us by our behavior. And when we make a mistake, we need to man up or woman up and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I didn't display God's righteousness. Please forgive me. And you'd be surprised how much of a powerful testimony asking for forgiveness is. And if you don't believe me, I know that Bill's got a great example of this, how he was able to minister to some guys at his work when he blew it. And then he asked for forgiveness, and they were just flabbergasted. And it allowed him to minister to them. Yeah, what was intended for evil, God could use for good to save many people alive, is what God's Word tells us. So, you know, let's live by faith. Let's not worry about earning our righteousness. Let's wrap ourselves in righteousness, and let's receive the fruits of righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25 says, "It will be righteous for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments for God, just as He has commanded us." So, you know, we have this walking with integrity. And if you, I kind of wrote a mathematical formula here. Walking in integrity plus works of righteousness plus speaking truth equals living close to God. Walking with integrity plus works of righteousness plus speaking the truth equals living close to God. And so we see some outward manifestations of those who are living close to God. And I've just got a list of seven here. One, they don't slander people. They don't walk around just putting other people down and building themselves up. They don't do evil to others. Because that's what the evil people do. They lie in wait. They set traps. They use trickery, right? They don't criticize, blame, accuse, reprove, scold, or rebuke. You know, sometimes God says that they need to come alongside people in love to do these things, but they're not just like, I'm just going to scorn this person out loud in front of everybody. They make it private, right? They keep these things very confidential. If there needs to be reproof, what do they use? They use God's word for it, not their own words. They honor God with everything that they do. You know what? I'm going to go ride my bicycle today, but I'm going to honor God when I'm doing it. You know, I got to go to work today. Work sucks, but I need the box. Have you guys seen that bumper sticker? Yeah. But I'm going to go, and even though I don't want to be there, I'm going to honor God today by doing my best as is doing it unto the Lord. So you know what? You know, Hannah, you're not making pizzas for customers. You're making pizzas for God, even though there is pork on them. Yeah. Richard, you're not stocking shelves for people to come buy groceries. You're stocking shelves for the Lord. You're a night stalker for God, Rukashem. Yeah. So, someone who's living close to God doesn't take advantage of the less fortunate. They actually are looking for opportunities to bless the widows and the orphans and those who have needs. And they don't let things like money influence their opinion on a matter. And Psalms 15, 1 through 5 says, and this is where I got this from. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. That's Psalm 15, 1. Moving on, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. But who honors those who fear Hashem, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money in interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. God will not shake you if you walk in these things from Psalm 15. You know, and looking out for the less fortunate, Proverbs 29 says, the righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such a concern. Now, this doesn't say that if you're concerned about the welfare of the poor, you steal from the rich to give to the poor. No. If you give a man a fish, the next day he'll go hungry. But if you teach a man to fish, he will never be hungry. So if you're concerned for the poor, you help them get work. You help them get a job. You train them. You give them an opportunity, right? That's what God's Word says here. So we look out for the less fortunate. We need to get rid of things that influence them or others to do evil. This is really important because a lot of times we hang on to things that we shouldn't be hanging on to. Acts 19 says, many who became believers kept coming and confessing and telling about their practices. Moreover, many people who practiced occultic arts gathered their books and burned them in front of everybody. The estimated price of them they found to be worth 50,000 silver coins. Wow! They got rid of the evil and they didn't care. Hey, you know what? I spent $50,000 on that evil. I'm going to keep it. I spent $50,000 on that evil. I'm going to get back from it what I put into it. No, they said, let's just burn it. It's defiled. Let's get rid of it. Let's be done with it. And that's important. We need to remember that. And then this last statement that I just want to make here is that, we need, when we're praying, because remember, this is talking about prayer, this passage of the armor of God. We need to pray on the breastplate of righteousness. And we need to remember that it only comes from Yeshua Jesus. We can't get our righteousness from any place else. Well, hey, I want a righteous breastplate like that person over there. Or I want it like this one over here. Or I like their definition of righteousness. That's good. I don't have to do all that other stuff. I get to pick and choose the ones that I want. No, the breastplate of righteousness that God wants here is that... Well, let me just read this passage. And this is my prayer, that your love will keep on growing more and more in full knowledge and perfect insight, so that you may be able to determine what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Messiah, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Yeshua Messiah to the glory and praise of God. We are to put on the fruit of righteousness that comes from God, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? You know, here's a good place to start. Love. That's a great place to start. If you love God, you're not going to have any problem keeping those first five commandments. And if you love others, you're not going to have any problem keeping the second five, are you? Joy. You know, joy in the Word of God. Peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. All of these things we see, and we got to start sticking those fruits to us. Well, some fruits stain. Well, Baruch Hashem, may people see the stain of God's righteousness upon us, right? Because when they look at this, may they see that it's His righteousness by the stains that were upon His wrists and upon His feet of the blood. And we need to remember that. So we have to remember, it is Yeshua's righteousness that symbolically here protects our vital organs. You know, if you think of a breastplate, you know, I was watching one of those modern military movies yesterday, and somebody was wearing Kevlar. And the Kevlar protected their vital organs. Oh, is it the helmet? Flak jacket, I'm sorry. But it's made of Kevlar. Yeah, it's they're wearing a Kevlar vest and the flak jacket. And the guy's just like, oh, you know, stupid guy who's wearing his breastplate at camp where there's no military activity. Well, you know what? The adversary that we deal with can fight you any place. So you can't just say, hey, I'm going to synagogue. I don't need the armor of God today. Who cares about the righteousness? No! The adversary even stirs in here, and people come in here and bring things that are not of God. Do they not? We've seen it happen. We've had to pray stuff out of this place. There's been some times I'm like, oh, you know, David, I need you on sentry duty. Just take the anointing oil and just draw a line in the sand and pray against that stuff that wants to come in. And, you know, there was a sense last week that some things just wanted to sweep in from other directions. And, you know, God says, just take the Torah scroll, just hold up my word in front of them. They don't like the word of God. I said, okay. So whatever's trying to sneak in the back door, I don't care. The Word of God is here, and the Word of God is going to protect us and protect those who meet here. And it's going to give Dave and Barb the peace they need to rest and recover. Amen? Yeah. And so with that, you know, it protects us. And protects, the righteousness of the Messiah protects us. And you know what? And more importantly, we remember that His blood has protected us from the consequences of our sin. And consequences of making a mistake when it comes to the things of righteousness. You know, some people think that they're under this ideal that, hey, you know what? God's going to put all my good deeds on one side and all my bad deeds on the other side. And whenever one balances out better, I hope it's good. Hope it's better. More good than bad, please. More good than bad, please. Ah, crap. You know? That's not the way that God works. The wages of sin, it's a very singular word. It just takes one mistake, right? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Through Yeshua, through Jesus our Lord, right? And that's important because people are under this belief that they can work their way in, and it doesn't work that way. It's only by belief in Yeshua. You know, I had somebody make a statement here this week, and some of you know what's going on. And they made the statements, it's like, well, I don't believe it, that what the rabbi said, you know, talking about what the Buddhists teach, because I believe that there's many roads that can lead a person to heaven. And I'm just like, oh, well, no. The Bible is very clear that it's a very narrow path. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, right? But narrow is the way. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one goes to heaven except through Him, right? And how do we do that? You know, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the promise of God. And then you make that commitment. You know, Richard talked about teshuvah, which means turning, you know, from sin and turning from selfishness and turning towards the things of God. And that totally lines up with 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says that He died for us so that those of us who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for the One who died and rose again on our behalf. That's saying, hey, you know what? Part of this deal is when we give our, you know, when we pray to accept Jesus as Lord, that we need to in turn give Him our life to do with what He wants. Well, I don't know. What if God wants me to? It makes no difference. Because that's where the faith comes in, right? Well, I don't know. I can't go to Africa and eat bugs. They bother me. Well, you know, God knows that stuff. And if He sends you to Africa and you can't eat bugs, trust me, man, if manna could fall from the sky for 40 years, I'm sure He can work something out for you. You just need to have faith. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So here's the challenge that I have today in regards to righteousness. First thing, are you relying upon your own righteous deeds for salvation? Or are you concentrating on being religious? Some people say, well, I've got to prove that I'm a very religious person. And the more religious I am, the better God's going to like me. No, God loves everyone unconditionally. That's why He died. But you've got to remember that we are saved by what? Grace. Right. That's it. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve eternal life, right? And for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of being religious or paying penance or crawling on your knees up the highest mountain or any of that stuff. Not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. I like the next verse. But we are his workmanship, created for good deeds in the Messiah, right? That he has prepared beforehand. So we're saved by grace, but we need to go out and do the works that God wants us to do. And you know, and you gotta ask yourself this question too, and this is part of the challenge. Are there any unrighteous things that are in your life that keep on coming back up? You know, Rabbi, I've got a problem. I just keep on murdering people and I can't stop. Oh, sorry, Richard. I wasn't supposed to tell anybody. I wasn't just kidding. But you know what? A lot of us have murdered in this room. Character assassination, maybe gossip. We've lied about people. We've lied, right? We've stolen. But it was only a cookie from my mom. Well, guess what? Stealing is stealing. And if you don't have permission, you know? All of these things, yeah. So you need to ask, what unrighteous things that are in your life do you need to just give to God? And here's the nice thing, is that, you know, when we think about the violations of righteousness, and we understand that when we continue down these paths, we don't receive the blessings of God. The adversary tries to get us to say, hey, you're not going to be blessed. But there's this great verse. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we get rid of this junk? Well, I lied 20 years ago. We'll just confess it to God and ask him to forgive you. And he will cleanse you, right? And once he's cleansed you, don't let the adversary remind you that you're a horrible person. You can say, yeah, I'm a horrible person, but Jesus loves me so much he died for me. And there's no condemnation for those who are in the Messiah. There's no condemnation if you were a believer in Jesus. None at all. Period. Yeah. So take time to confess your sins to God. Allow him to cleanse you. And then, of course, the fourth thing in our challenge is that today I just would encourage you to thank God for his righteousness that protects you and his forgiveness that he's given you. So let's just have everybody, just wherever they're at, just bow your heads and close your eyes.